Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. Little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our Patreon sponsors. If you'd like to become a Patreon sponsor, please visit our website at bodybuildinglegendshow.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, you will see the Patreon link where you yourself can become a Patreon to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. All right. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding. And we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. And on today's episode, we have two special guests from the AAU. We've got two former Mr. America and Mr. Universe winners on the show with us today. The first is Matt Dufresne. Matt won the 1989 Mr. America in the AAU. He also won the 1989 NABBA Mr. Universe. And it's very rare for someone to win both the America and the Universe in the same year. In addition to Matt, we've got his friend, bodybuilding legend Jeff King, who was the 1983 AAU Mr. America and one of the real legends in the sport. Jeff's physique is still talked about today as one of the best ever. And Jeff also won the NABBA Mr. Universe that same year in 1983 and went on to have a really great career competing in NABBA and WABA, and was very, very popular doing seminars in Europe for many years. So we're going to talk to both Matt and Jeff about their careers and about competing in the AAU. We'll also talk to Jeff, of course, about not being able to compete in the IFBB when that was bandied about in the late 80s. Jeff was going to make the transition over and it never happened. So it's a rare opportunity to talk to Jeff King, one of the legends of the sport. And I also got a chance to meet Matt Dufresne. So it was a really good interview. So this will be part one of our interview with Matt and Jeff because it went over so long. So we'll have part one this week and we'll have part two next week. And that will be coming up in a second. All right. What else is going on out there, guys? I just had a really exciting weekend. I was at the Pro Physique Experience. As you know, I'm doing online training for Pro Physique. And if you're interested in checking them out, you can just go to prophysique.com. But once a year, they have what they call the Pro Physique Experience. And Paul Revelia, who was the owner of the company, he brings together some real experts in the field. It's a Friday and Saturday event. It's just a bunch of seminars. I think they had about four seminars on Friday and four seminars on Saturday. And it was mostly the clients of Pro Physique, a lot of bikini competitors, girls who are either pros or trying to get their pro card. And it was just a great experience. Got to meet a lot of people. And a lot of knowledge was thrown about this weekend and got to learn a lot from the different speakers and meet a lot of different people. So it was a really, really fun time. It was right here in Tampa, so I didn't have to travel. It was just downtown, but it was a really, really good time. I'm so happy to be working for this company. Paul was such a great guy. His wife, Misty, they just do a great job. Also want to say happy birthday to my brother, Don. It was his birthday yesterday, 58 years old, if you can believe it. If you've heard any interviews with me before, my brother was really, really helpful to me, especially when I started bodybuilding as a teenager. He went with me to all the shows. He drove to all the contests, took pictures with his camera, helped me with my posing, put the tanning stuff on. I mean, he was just so supportive to me when we were younger and also throughout my life, really. I mean, every time I've done a seminar, he's the one that puts together the flyers. He's a commercial art director right now. So he has a background in design and advertising. So he's always been a big influence to me. I always look up to him for advice and just a really great brother. So happy birthday to him. He is now married 30 years. He just celebrated his 30th wedding anniversary. I think I mentioned that on the podcast about a week ago. And he's got two sons, Sam and Joe, and they're both doing really good. Both college graduates, got good jobs now. So everybody's doing good. So happy birthday to my brother. I hope he had a good time. When we finish our interview with Matt Dufresne and Jeff King, I'm going to be reading an article from the January 1984 issue of Iron Man. And this is about Jeff King's win at the 1983 Mr. America contest. So stay tuned for that. That was probably Jeff's biggest contest win of his life, even though he went on to win a lot of other big titles. I was looking for some about Matt Dufresne, but I just didn't have any magazines in that time period from the 1989 America, so it probably would have been 1990. As you know, the Weider magazines would not cover anything with the AAU, and Iron Man magazine at the time, I think, was taken over by John Balich, so I think John was pretty loyal also to the MPC and the IFBB, so I don't think they were covering it. Not like the old Iron Man magazines, which were run by Perry Rader, they covered everything, especially the AAU. So it's just a different time. That was kind of when the MPC was taking over in the late 80s and the AAU was starting to fade away. I think by the 1990s, the AAU really became second, definitely, to the MPC, and everybody was switching over to the MPC. So unfortunately, I didn't have any articles of Matt. But if I ever come across any in the future, I will definitely read those on the show so we can learn a little bit more about Matt Dufresne. So I'll be reading that article about the 83 America right after we get done with our interview with Jeff and Matt. I also want to mention, I put up a video on my YouTube channel with Ronnie Coleman when he appeared on the Jay Leno show. This was in December of 2000. This was after Ronnie just won his third Mr. Olympia. And I guess you can't find this video anywhere. I had it because I recorded it off TV on a VHS tape. And I just had the tape converted to a MP4 and also a DVD. And so I put it on my YouTube channel. And man, it is blowing up. It's got almost 500,000 views. I think it's, by the time you hear this podcast, it'll probably be at 500,000 views. I have never, ever had a video come close on my YouTube channel to those views. So it's crazy. But I guess it's just because it was a rare thing to see Ronnie or any bodybuilder on a television talk show like that, except for Arnold, of course. I think Lee Haney might have been on Arsenio Hall once. I think that might have been after Lee stopped competing. But Ronnie was still in the middle of his career. He only had won 3 Olympias so far. And he did a really good job. You know, Ronnie's just a laid-back guy. And he handled himself pretty well. A lot of pressure being on The Tonight Show back then, especially because The Tonight Show was so big. This was before the internet and everything. So Ronnie did a good job. So check that out on my YouTube channel. It's under my name, John Hansen, and see Ronnie's debut on national television on The Tonight Show. All right. I think that's all I got. We didn't get any emails. If you guys want to email me about the show, of course, it's at naturalolympia@gmail.com. So I love reading your emails. So send me any emails you have, any suggestions, and I will read them on the air. But that's all I got. So here is our interview with Matt Dufresne, who was the 1989 AAU Mr. America and also the 1989 NABA Mr. Universe winner, and also Jeff King, 1983 AAU Mr. America and 1983 NABA Mr. Universe winner. Here we go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And I have two very special legends with us today, both Mr. America and Mr. Universe winners. First, we got Mr. Matt Dufresne, who was the 1989 Mr. America and also the NABA Mr. Universe that same year. Welcome, Matt. And then we've got Mr. Jeff King, one of the legends in the sport, 1983 AAU Mr. America and 1983 NABA Mr. Universe winner. So welcome to the show, guys. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Did you have to have a wry smile when I hear my name associated with anything legend? I don't know, man. I don't know about that, but okay.
Well, Matt, if you make it this long, then you're a legend.
Yeah. It's no joke. Wow. In light of what's been going on.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to talk to you guys because you're both basically AAU and NABA competitors. And a lot of the guys I talk to are, of course, IFBB champions. So I definitely wanted to cover more of the AAU and the NABA because there were some really great champions back in those days. I mean, I started competing in 79, so I grew up in Chicago, and that was a real pro AAU state. I mean, there was a lot of – it took a while for them to switch over from the AAU to the MPC, even after the MPC started. So you guys were both from the East Coast, right? And that's when you started the AAU competing?
Yep.
Yeah, actually, John, I competed AAU and NPC because I grew up in Jersey.
Okay.
In my whole career, I was equally NPC and AAU.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, until the Mr. America. And that was the first year. That was Paris, I believe, who the first
Paris,
nationals, because if you recall, they were going through all the legal battles for who owned the title, Mr.
America. That's right.
Yeah. So as I was coming through, actually a week before or 2 weeks before the Mr. America, I won the MPC Eastern America, or what, I can't remember the name of the show. It was in Baltimore. Uh-huh. And when they won that right, you know, every idol, you know, Dale Adrian, Tufel. Did Tufel ever win the America?
I think he did win the America. Tufel did.
Ron Tufel?
Well, Tony Pearson beat him.
Tony Pearson, that's right. Yeah, Pearson. I mean, every one of my heroes, they were, you know, it was, Bob Hoffman's. It was strength and health and alternating, muscular development. But so that year, you know, Bob Gruskin was like, you know, hey, you want to be Mr. America. And so that's why I went into the AU America, because it was Mr. America. And it was the first year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because I think the MPC started in 82, but they called it the American Bodybuilding Championships. Yeah, but then the 83, it was the Nationals. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that was the main reason, right, Jeff? Because the title, Mr. America.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I grew up, I competed both. I could give a, you know, hoot, but I did want to be Mr. America. So,
yeah.
You know, it was the first year. Who knew? You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you feel the same way, Matt, when you were doing?
This is to be completely candid. The reason I wanted to do Mr. America or Mr. Universe was because Jeff did it. and you know, I was a snot-nosed kid, 16 years old, I think. And Jeff, you were getting ready for probably, I don't know if you'd have come up to Big Daddy's for the Collegiate America. I don't think so. I think it was for the Mr. America that you moved to Big Daddy's. Is that right? From Central City?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I remember the Collegiate, and
it was in Hartford. You went with Larry Tyler, and you put on a hell of a show that year. Wicked.
I was in college. I was in 82, maybe.
Right. 82. Right.
82. So I was at Big Daddy's then. I was still.
Okay. So Jeff basically single-handedly got me to quit bodybuilding for 3 to 4 months until he disappeared, winning shows and being busy somewhere else. Because, you know, when you're 15 and you see Jeff training in the gym, you're like, how can I aspire to that? You know,
so right.
Then he disappeared. I went back and then I said, okay, I'm going to get my wheels spinning and worked out. But Jeff started a whole, you really did, Jeff, you started a whole thing at Big Daddy's where people said, well, wait a minute. You know, we all train together. The Joe Gomes, the Rich Roys, the Art Princes, it was you like pop the balloon. And then everybody's like, well, fuck, we want to go. You know,
the 4 minute mile. You think the 4 minute mile.
In that little pub that was Springfield, Mass, Big Daddy's. It was a really, it was crazy. 83, 84, 85, you know, it's just crazy.
You're right. It did. Like I said, it was that, I think 4 minute mile, because there are a lot of good guys that came out of that gym. And you know, Matt, the thing I always wished I had on you is, because I always say to you, hey, I won the American Universe back to back. And then you had to go do it.
And I think, you were one of the youngest, maybe Casey Viator. I know he won the America at 19. I don't know if he won the universe.
I forget.
My dogs is talking to me. Sorry.
There's a few guys. I remember there's just a couple guys that won the American Universe back to back. I can't remember who they were, but
yeah.
So, you know, that was a little different, but that was that gem. And, you know, honestly, John, if you could have seen that gym, it was Ed Jubenville equipment, right?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, all
metal,
3 weeks.
Metal on metal sleeves.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. And then the leg curl machine, I had Rick have them weld. Remember the plate holders on top, so that when it came so far, mechanically you'd keep getting tension.
Right.
Because hard at the top, but weak at the bottom.
Right.
Wow. And
it was very dangerous in that
gentleman. I was thinking about this. Okay. I was in the gym when, okay. So we had a power rack and it was lag bolted into the concrete through the drywall into the concrete. And it was there for 10 years with 800, 1,000 pounds banging on it all the time.
Wow.
And this huge, I think he was probably 6'6", Bill Tolliver.
Remember Bill Tolliver? Yeah.
Yeah, so Bill Tolliver racks 500 or 600 pounds onto the rack, turns around, taking off his belt, and somebody literally Supermans across the gym and pushes him out of the way as the whole rack comes out of the slams onto the ground. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, it was crazy. Somebody's in the basement and all the drywall comes down in the shower.
Matt, don't forget my broken nose, please.
Oh, yeah.
John,
that was rough.
John, there was a bench I took off the floor because a Jubenville bench, you know, had the, you know, you could
screws.
Yeah.
Right. And the screws, you know, the nuts, they were crap, you know, and the screws. So I took it off the floor. So then it comes back. We had Guy LaSorsa, who was a world champion arm wrestler.
Yep.
So he says, hey, man, he says, Jeff, can you give me, he was doing a skull crushers and he was on that bench. And I'm thinking, oh, it's fixed. So he had about 175 pounds on that. I lift it up. He does it. I take it. He sits up. I put it down on the edge of the bench and, you know, it was hanging off. It just catapulted.
Oh, man.
He square the nose. It knocked me to the ground. And we were getting ready to go to Buffalo. What show are we going to, Matt?
Junior America. Yeah, Junior America.
Yeah, and I had to get on a plane. I arrived in Buffalo. Chris Reichardt owned
World Gym. Yeah.
And he took me to the emergency room. And I got and it's still crooked.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah, there's some good stories.
Dangerous gym, man.
So that was in Springfield, Mass, that gym?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Aaron Lewis was from that X too.
Who?
Aaron Lewis from Stained.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yep. And he trained at my gym for a little bit at the Golds when I opened up. Aaron Lewis. Yep.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah. Wysocki, the drummer. John Wysocki. I think he was the drummer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The amount of talent that came out of Massachusetts was unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff, how old were you when you won the America?
22.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Because I know you won the collegiate the year before.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. 21.
Yeah. That was Hartford. I think Hartford or Waterbury. I think. I was there. I went down with a few people, and we were. That was a crazy show. Larry Tyler was awesome.
Yeah. Chicago. John Munson. Jeff Munson was.
Yeah. There. Yeah. That's right. He was in your class, right?
Yeah, no, I think I was the medium tall. He was the tall, and then they had the medium and the short.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah, he competed. He was from the Rockford area, I think.
Yeah, he was. He trained, what was the big gym in Rockford there? That's
Champions.
What's that?
Champions Gym.
Was it Champions or Quads? Was there a Quads?
Oh, there was a Quads too, yeah. Maybe he was.
Yeah, because I think Larry Bernstein trained it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah. Matt, what age did you start competing? Because you were teenagers in America, also, right?
I always tell people I did a meteoric and quickly snuffed out career for whatever things you want to talk about, but it's I think I went from the teenage Mr. Bay State at 17. To Mr. Universe at 23 and done. So it didn't take a lot of time. And again, you know, Big Daddy's, we had the recipe. We knew how to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So the first few years I was under the shadow of Ted Lopes. He's a fantastic bodybuilder. He won the 94 NABBA Universe, medium tall, I think. Just phenomenal bodybuilder. But every time I competed as a teenager in Mass, he was there. And mm-hmm. he was leagues ahead of every other teenager there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I
he was a gentleman too. He was a real gentleman.
I haven't met a Lopes family member that wasn't a gentleman. You know, they were they were all nice guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then I went out to Fresno for the Teenage Mr. America. And I was lucky there. You know what my claim to fame is at the Teenage Mr. America?
I know it was Lex Luthor, right?
What's that? Yeah. Again, just bullshit luck being at the right place at the right time at the right age. But you know, I'm one of few that can say, yes, at one time I beat Flex Wheeler.
Yeah.
Or he ever blossomed into the gargantuan person he was. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was doing a little research and I saw Ken Wheeler won the class. Yeah.
Yeah.
Medium tall class. How did he look, Pat?
Oh, he was shredded. And he was a consummate poser. He probably hadn't gotten involved in anything related to gear, so he wasn't full.
Yeah.
And literally, you know, within two more years, he would have been so far out of reach, it wouldn't even be funny, you know. So he was truly gifted. Him and somebody like Sean Ray are just as far as their physiques and their roundness and fullness and aesthetics, just special, you know.
Yeah. Jeff, who was your like Matt said that you were you were the guy that he looked up to when he was a teenager. Who did you look up to? Because I know Mike Quinn was big at that time, right before you.
No, Mike was the same. He was around. We were around the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, we were the same time because Mike. I remember Bob Gruskin was working with Mike,
mm-hmm.
And I think we're pretty close to the same age, even.
Okay.
But I'm really trying to, you know. Of course, early on, Robbie Robinson.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think I was only 17, right? You know, they used to have training partners. But, you know, when I came to Springfield and Pat Hayes, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. Remember Pat Hayes?
Yeah.
When he wasn't running from husbands and stuff. Yeah. I mean, he was a great guy and a good bodybuilder.
Well, here's the funny thing. It's, you know, I had a different upbringing bodybuilding wise because I met Bob when I was 17 at the, maybe it was 16, 17 at the Teenage New Jersey. So New Jersey was a good state too. That was,
they had a lot
of good bodybuilders. And Mike Antorino, I remember seeing Mike for the first time and he had the snake tattooed on his back.
Right. I remember you told me that. Yeah.
Yeah. He was awesome. You know? So, you know, every time like Bob brought me, I met Bob at that Teenage America. He called my parents, said, "No, I'd like to bring to the Night of Champions." And I met Wayne D'Amelia. And, you know, that was sort of like my Steve Mihalik, too. You know?
Oh, yeah. New York.
But I went to the Night of Champions. That was like my first like real introduction. By the way, I met Robbie Robinson, Tony Pearson, Ron Tufel. And like these were, what was his name? He was
guys that you see in magazines, you know.
Yeah,
Muhammad McAway.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah. McAway, or however you say. But I mean, I was meeting like guys I was seeing in
magazines.
In magazines, so
yeah,
that was my standard, you know. But then Bob, when I came to college, Bob set me up with Pat Hayes. That was like, you know, that's like, you know, I was this kid from Jersey who was pretty naive. You know, I grew up on the shore and actually I was like odd with this guy, Bob Ottmer, had a gym in Lakewood, New Jersey. My father said, "If you're going to lift weights, you're going to do it right. I'm going to bring you to Bob Ottmer." Since back in the day when the gyms were in people's basements, you know,
sure.
And I remember walking there, was this Puerto Rican guy doing dumbbell overhead tricep. And I was just, you know, my eyes were hanging out of my head. It was just real. And then his Guy Mustalish was his name. And he worked at the hospital in the ED, but he opened the first gym I ever knew of that was above ground and was called Building Room in Bricktown, New Jersey. And I really looked up to this guy. Like, you know, he was, you know, and then, he was from Jersey, his last name is Siegel, and I think he freaked me out too. And then there, again, they're up in Orange, New Jersey. I'd go to these shows, and Frank Wainwright, who was actually gunned down and killed.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, I mean, what's his name? The older guy. You know him, Matt. I can't think of it. He was always the poser. He was an older guy. It'll come to me. But I met him, and Joe Fulco. If you remember Joe Fulco?
Sure. Yeah, I had Joey on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and how could I forget John DeFendis?
Yeah, yeah.
John DeFendis actually was the first bodybuilder that Bob Gruskin introduced me to, and I remember it as clear as day. I went to the Mr. Suburban in Orange because we always went up to those shows, and there was John, and he comes up, and Bob's like, "Hey, I want you to meet John," and John looked like a monster. I mean, he had this sweater on. And he had on these pants that looked like stockings because his quads were huge. And I just, the same thing. I'm like, "Hi, how you doing?" but you know, all the time I was always introduced to these guys, that were, they were on the track, man.
Yeah.
And I was this gangly kid. You know, I never thought I'd amount to anything. Actually, when Bob's like, "Oh, you got good lines." I'm like, "I don't think so, man." And I trained in a gym in New Jersey, again, in a cellar that me and my buddies from high school, Scott McGarry, Carl Massano, and they built this gym in Scott's gym. And that's where we trained. Hmm. And we used to pose and get the magazines and Richie Schuler. I mean, I remember these guys, but you know, even those guys I looked up to because, you know, they were long. Carl was the first guy I ever saw squat 300. Holy Christ, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's like the people I looked up to, they were a multitude, and for different reasons. It just kept getting bigger and bigger as
I got
in the sport, you know?
Yeah, it was great back in those days because, like you said, Matt, we had the magazines, and we would see all these guys in the magazines. So whenever you met them in person, or even like the younger guys, like, you know, DeFendis or something that you heard about. I mean, it was just so inspirational, you know, seeing these guys, because you don't see them like nowadays. I think everybody sees them on social media, so it becomes a little more familiar with them, you know. But back then, they were almost like movie stars, you know.
Yeah, like gods. Do you know when I went to the Night of Champions, the first thing that blew me away is I expected to walk in, I thought they'd all be 10 feet tall.
Yeah,
yeah. I really did. And I remember walking in Muhammad or Danny Padilla. He was one of my favorites, too.
Yeah.
Danny Padilla, I'm bigger than him. I'm looking at the top of his head.
Yeah, right.
This is insane. I just expected them all to be giants. Like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
They looked good on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, John DeFendis, I met at Bob's once. He and I both won the USA the same year. I won the AAU USA and he won the NPC USA. So in Muscular Development ran a flip open where you had both of us there. And it was interesting. We had some really interesting conversations at Bob's about, you know, growing up and you know, him training with Mahalik. I love John, but I think he's got PTSD to the point where he can't think of any type of training other than 75 sets for biceps and you're bleeding through your nose and then you're done your workout, you know?
Yeah.
No, thanks, man. I'm done. I'll do my 6 sets and call it a day.
Did you guys ever train with Mahalik?
I never did.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have ran.
I would have too. What was he called it? Intensity insanity training.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think more on insanity myself.
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Matt, did you work with Gruskin also?
Yeah. I did for the last few years. We flew around in the same circles. Kind of a jerk when I was a teenager, and at the Teenage Mr. Bay State, you know, I'm literally 145 pounds, you know, winning the short class, And I'm like, well, you need bodybuilders to sell your magazines. Like, what am I thinking? like, what? So I see him there. We talk. He's like, wow, you're shredded. You need more size. You know, I meet him at the Teenage Mr. Mass. I think 10 months later, I'm probably 10, 12 pounds heavier. He's like, oh, okay. You know, I meet him at the Teenage Mr. America. We're still not working together, but he knows who I am. And the first time that he actually gave me advice was at the Mr. Atlantic States. Okay. He brought Vinny Conzo up.
Oh, Vinny. That's right. Yeah.
And Vinny was a mountain, but he wasn't cut. I don't know what Vinny's, where he was. He was, you know, they some of these big guys were doing preparatory shows. You know, they, you know, come in a little smooth, but just get your kinks ironed out.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob and I were talking and he's like, okay, well, you know, show me what you got. And I showed him a most muscular, and he goes, well, can you do a trap over? And I don't know what a trap over is or was, you know? And he goes, well, you know, your traps, can you get him to come over? And I did. And he goes, oh fuck. You know, just like that. Cause you know, Vinny didn't win. I won. And from then on, Bob and I were kind of like, okay, so what do you want to do next? And you know, that's kind of how it happens. It's not like a real, it's not a contract. It's so, you know, what are your thoughts? Yeah. What do you want to do next? And then put a plan together and you're working with Bob. You know?
Yeah. Now, would he help you guys with your nutrition, with your training, with your diet?
A little bit for me, a little bit.
Okay.
See, it's so funny. He would definitely steer me, but you know, I had to do everything on my own. You know, it's just,
oh, really?
Yeah. I never followed anyone's. It's not that I didn't follow advice, but you know, first, you know, when I started college, my background was in exercise science, you know,
right.
You know, I, to the point of before the America, you know, I wasn't going in the America. I was going away to chiropractic school in Missouri. And Bob, you know, Bob's like, oh, you know, it's a lot. You need to get ready for school. I said, well, I want to do one more before I go. So it was a show. It was the NBC show that was 3 weeks from the America, but I had no interest. And like, I did the science. I did textbook science dieting. You know, I counted my calories. I did hydrostatic weighing at school because I had access to all the equipment. And I remember Bob came up and he said, well, let's take a look at you. He came up and he looked at me and he said, oh, he goes, we're going to the America. So, yeah, I just had my own thing. Like, that's how bodybuilding was to me. I could give a rat's ass, you know, of course you want to win, but I never cared. It's, you know, I figured, hey, that's the opinion. You know, for me, it was about come in for me. The best. It's like an artist, you know, it's like, hell, if no one likes your artwork, I'm an artist, man. This is what I do. And so if I failed, you know, I definitely would listen to some of this stuff, you know, around the supplements, like, you know, take this. It's funny, to this day, I always blame Bob. Before the Teenage America, I always got overlean too fast. And so Bob said, well, I want you to take some kelp for iodine. It'll get you, well, it's loaded with salt. And I showed the show, he looked at me and goes, what the hell happened to you? You know, I didn't change my diet. I was never afraid to be hungry, you know?
Yeah.
And I always figured I'll come in too light. Who cares if you're lean and you're in shape, you know, you'll always look bigger on stage. So yeah, it was an interest of mine. It was the, you know, like getting in shape, training. Like I, you know, even to this day, you know, when I continued on with my life thing, I became a strength and conditioning coach. I worked with pro hockey. I strength coach at Springfield College for football and lacrosse. It's like, I love the science. So for me, when it was my training, it was about the science. So if I was going to fail, I used to say to Bob, I go, well, Bob, if I lose, it's all my fault. Yeah. So that was it, you know?
Yeah. So it was almost like you just wanted to push yourself, Jeff, to see how good you could get, right? It was almost a personal thing.
Yeah. You know, like for example, Bob would say, you know, you might need to back off on some of the leg work a little bit. You know, you got to bring your back up and say, no, You know, and what stimulated that as well is like, I always liked the freaks of bodybuilding. Like I love Bertel Fox. Tom Platz, he was a hero of mine, you know? You know, he was ridiculous. His upper body did, you know, he did put more stuff on up top, but you know, he was a freak. And for me, it was the freak factor. Like, that's why I did it. So if someone said, well, if you did this, you might've won, I'd be like, bullshit. Like why I do this, you know, I do this to be as freaky as I could be, you know? So that was the fun for me, you know? And you know how it is. It's an opinion too. I mean, it's a subjective.
It's totally subjective.
Yeah. And so, you know, it used to kill me. And Matt, I know you can appreciate this. Like, you know, I said, like, you know, you got guys winning a lot at Big Daddy's and it really attracted a lot of people. And the courser's like, well, you know, I know Jeff, he farts and, you know, he falls down the stairs, you know, if he can do it, I can do it, you know, the human factor came in immediately. And, but you know, guys would come back. Hey, how'd you do, man? I heard you look great. Oh, I got robbed. I hated when people said that. It's like, shut up and stop complaining. It's a subjective sport. You go there for, to be your personal best. There was a show, I forget, it was Mr. World I had placed. I was so much higher than I should have been. And it was so deflating. I didn't care where I came. I wasn't my best or I didn't my goal. And so for me, it was always, you know, if I came in that show and I was the best shape I felt I was ever in, then that's all I cared about. It doesn't matter what the judge said, win, lose, you know, it was about me coming in at my personal best. And that's where I gained my satisfaction. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, they were in it to win, which I understand, you know, it's still a competition, but, you know, I think it's soiled for many the real fun of what it was about. And, you know, the work, you know, it's like climbing the mountain. It was like Christmas. I think I said this before, John, it was the wait, the anticipation, all that. The day of the show, it was like, oh, presents are open. It's over.
Right.
You know, it's no fun. Like all the fun was the climb, you know, the
preparation,
struggle, and also the power of the mind. Bodybuilding was always for me a mind thing. You drove the physical, but it was the mind that would fail, not the body. You know, the body just does what it's told to do. So,
to some extent, though, you know, we and I've seen this a lot with a lot of athletes where they get lost in the climb. And they enjoy their sport of training in the gym, and they forget that their goal is actually to try to be their very best and carve the physique, the shape, the conditioning, and all that to be their very best. But they lost it in the gym because they love to train. And, you know, I always said that don't let your love of training stop you from remembering it's a sport with a goal and an end. And a little bit different from Jeff. I was Joe's strategy, man. How am I going to take that trophy off the stage with me? And so I love to train, but I would rather have the trophy. So what do I have to do to get the trophy?
Right.
And, you know, and whether it was not train too much or do more cardio or watch my diet better or, you know, there was a situation where, you know, I won the America by 1 point.
You really? Wow.
One point.
Wow.
And, you know, the guy that I beat was phenomenal. You know, it's Casey, you know, Casey Kucharik. And I literally went through every single pose in my head about which one he destroyed me on and which ones I would look better aesthetically compared to that.
Yeah.
Strategy, man. It's like, you know, so I mean, it's personal best, but if I still came out with a trophy, that would be good too.
That's still a mission, of course.
How did it feel, Matt, when you won the America and then the Universe?
Yeah, it was It was a rush. John Grimmick was there. He was the first Mr. America. He handed me my trophy. That was pretty damn special.
Yeah.
Chris Dickerson was in the audience. My whole family, because we're from Springfield, Mass.
Yeah.
So I had everybody there. It was the last big show that Cliff Sawyer ran. He was the AAU chairman at that time, and he ran the show. So it was something special, you know, and, you know, I was the hometown kid. I won it in the hometown. That was my first stage that I ever competed on, you know,
that
stage. Wow. And then I won the America. Thankfully, to my credit, the Massachusetts judge voted against me. So that was a good thing. I was like, thank you for voting against me. Gave me credibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the universe was, that was just crazy. That was just nuts. Ooh, you know?
Yeah.
Again, I kind of did the Jeff thing. I was all about the science, you know, I was, you know, getting up every few hours in the flight to do some squats in the background and do, you know, just to push water around. So I didn't get edema and all that sort of stuff. I was lucky. I probably wouldn't have won if I didn't have Bob Gruskin there, though. And I'll tell you a funny story, because they can't take the title away from me now. the guy that was doing the height check, he's since passed away, but he was a friend of Bob since Bob had gone over for how many years now, since 83.
Yeah.
And
Heidenstam, right?
Yeah, Heidenstam, right.
Oscar Heidenstam.
Well, I don't know if it was Oscar that was doing the height check. It might have been somebody else, but it was somebody he knew. And Casey was in the medium class, and it's already 1 point against us, you know, 1 point between us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit, if I show up in the medium class, these guys are literally, here I am at a 190, 195, and they're at 210, 215.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to get lost in that, you know, but I'm over 5'6". And that's the cutoff, Jeff, as you know,
for the short.
So I've got these, you know, the bodybuilding pantaloons on, you know, the big baggy pants. So the guy says, put your heels up there. I put my heels up there, and Bob's talking to him nonstop. and they're talking, he's looking away, and I literally bow my back out with my knees slightly flexed and my big pantaloon things. And my head drops just to 5'6", just a fraction below. Oh, you're a short class. Great. Short class. And then the show is going on, and Bob goes, more than one person said, he's short class. Cause I'm like 5'7" and a quarter or something like that at that time. You know, now I'm probably 5'5". Who knows what I am now, but it was just funny.
Yeah.
That's a classic Bob thing.
Oh my God. Reg Park was the judge.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, he was one of the judges and man, he had it out for at least this American. I get all ones in the short class. He has me down to 6.
Wow. And, I'm kidding.
And they didn't let him judge in the overall.
No kidding.
The class winners. They pulled him right out because
scores are so off. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just, he just had it out for Americans that day. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Bob came up to me as I'm sitting in the back, you know, in my Mickey Mouse sweatshirt and my sweatpants after the prejudging. And he goes, so how's it feel to probably be Mr. Universe? Get the fuck out of here. Come on. Did you see the guy from Australia? He's 6'4". You know what I mean? Like, So, but it was cool.
Amazing. How about you,
Jeff? And I was done.
Yeah. How come you quit, Matt, after that?
I had legal issues basically with the government. You know, supplying my gear and getting my gear for competitions because I wasn't a natural athlete.
Yeah.
And, you know, that led to some legal issues. And you know, as Jeff and I have talked in private, one of the best things that ever freaking happened to me ever. Because, you know, we see what's going on with bodybuilding now, you know, and it's a young man's sport. and the longevity isn't the best. You know, I think we just heard that Big Ramy is retiring.
Did we? Yeah, that's a rumor. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, he won two Olympias. I think it's a smart move because the horizon's not long for guys that are walking around at 320.
Yeah.
Your heart, your lungs, your joints, God bless him. But, you know, for me, basically I won the universe. I was getting some gear and the government didn't like that and, you know, brought a case against me and my bodybuilding was over. And, you know, for the grace of God,
yeah. I was
done at 23 and literally not a single health issue. And we still don't know if my back is related to bodybuilding. Certainly didn't help it, but that spondylolisthesis could have been there from, a kid, you know?
There's a normal prevalence of that.
And it's congenital to some extent. Two of my sisters have had lumbar fusions. So, I mean, I look back, it was a great time. I wouldn't change a thing. Because of stopping bodybuilding, I opened up a gym. I got married. I had two wonderful kids, which they go to the gym with me all the time now. It's a great life, you know, and I have no health ramifications and I'm loving that, you know?
Yeah. Back then the drug usage obviously wasn't as bad as it is today. Right. I mean, you guys didn't have the growth hormone and the insulin and all the other stuff that was going on.
Growth was around. There were people that were doing it. The insulin growth factors, I don't think were there. I don't know what people are doing today. You know, I have no concept. I couldn't be a coach like Chris Aceto because I'm ignorant of all that stuff.
Yeah.
But you didn't see a Big Ramy on the NABBA stage. You didn't see a Nasser El Sambadi on the NABBA stage. So does that mean that those gifted genetically gifted people weren't in bodybuilding yet, or was it drug? I'm not going to say, I don't know. I don't care, but you know, bodybuilding has changed. I liked what we did, you know, that was what we did. You know, I talked to
Rich Gaspari last week and he made a good point too. He said, a lot of these guys today are staying in it a lot longer. Like, you know, you were 23, Matt, and Jeff, you were young when you stopped competing. And these guys now are going into their 40s, almost into their 50s, you know, and they're staying on it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like any kind of drug, it's dose and duration related. But it is awfully odd that you're just seeing, you know, in the new year, like within like 4 weeks, like.
I know.
It's done, you know, like.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And they're young.
You know, a lot of back pressure on the heart, you know, it's a pump, like any pump, you know. If you create, you know, and you think the exercise you're doing is all, you know, it's Valsalva maneuver, you're just driving those pressures up, and the bigger loads that maybe your natural body's governor would minimize you to do, and but
Jeff, how did you feel winning the America and then winning the universe? I asked Matt that, and you know, that had to be unbelievable. Like you said, not many people have done both of that, both the America and the universe in the same year.
It's sort of surreal, I guess, because you know what I compare it like? I've been married three times, so I know this very well, but it's sort of like, you expect something to feel different and then you win and you're like, okay, where's the fireworks? You know? and you know, I remember that say when I got married the first time, it was like, I didn't feel any different. I'm like, well, this is odd. You know? and I think, the America was definitely a culmination. It was that excitement to build up. But then after you won it, it was almost, it was, you know,
anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was. I'm like, wow, okay. It was like, like any other show I was in, honestly, you know?
Yeah.
And the pump was when I forget who came up. Oh, it was he was the wrestler, but he was a bodybuilder too. God, what was his name? I think he had something to do with the Underground Steroid book as well. But, you know, he came up, he says, well, hey, man, he goes, congratulations. He goes, so going to the universe? And I'm like, what? I got to start school. and he said, man, no, man, you got to go to the universe. So, you know, I said, okay. And then Bob's like, yeah, they pay your way. You know, the AU, they're paying all the high. So then it juiced me up again, you know, got excited again. But then with it came all the, you know, the fans, I guess. And then that was fun. You know, that was a fun part of it. But
you know, it certainly opened a new chapter. I mean, you know, you're touring, you're seeing clubs all over the world, you're traveling, you're doing seminars and exhibitions. That's a pretty fun chapter. I mean, that'll keep you motivated, plus the cash, you know.
Well, you know what the funny thing is though, because, you know, I'm a little bit obsessive.
No, come on.
So, of course, being that everything was about training and staying on my diet, you're traveling. So it's next to impossible. So it was a learning curve. But I so remember, man, like the first couple of tours I went over there, because John Brown ruled, you know, like what, he won the universe 6 times, something like that.
Yeah.
So I'd go someplace. I'm like, hey, man, I got to get to bed. I got to get up in the morning and train. And they're looking at me, go, John Brown, go to disco. And I'm like, I'm not John Brown, dude. I said, and the guys hated me because they, you know, I had to do a little bit of the social thing, but, you know, I had to go to the gym in the morning. I'd be working out at 4 a.m. before I had to catch a flight. And these guys hated me because they were like, you know, I remember one guy, he goes, no, you don't know disco. You know, like, no, not disco. And then he said, what time do you want to be pick up? And I said, well, can you open the gym at this time? Because again, I still was on that regime.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thank you to Matt Dufresne and Jeff King. This, of course, was part one of our interview. So next week we will have part two of our interview with Matt and Jeff. Great conversation. I also want to thank all our Patreon donors. You guys keep the show going. If anyone out there is interested in being a Patreon donor, as I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, just go to bodybuildinglegendshow.com, which is our official website. And in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the link to become a Patreon donor. And if you guys are interested in doing any online training with me through Pro Physique, the link is right here on this podcast. Or just look below in the description and you can check that out. All right. Without any further ado, I want to read this article about Jeff King winning the AAU Mr. America. It's written by Al Antuck, and this comes from the January 1984 issue of Iron Man magazine. It says the Mr. America contest comes but once a year, as it has for the past 44 years. And what a festive occasion the 1983 edition was, as the Mr. America contest has always been in years past. An almost carnival atmosphere prevails at Mr. America time, as contestants, officials, and fans gather to renew established friendships and to make new ones. That same high spirit prevailed this year. The locale of the 1983 Mr. and Miss America Bodybuilding Championships was the beautiful Sun Dome on the University of Southern Florida campus in Tampa. The championships were promoted by Tampa Bodybuilding Promotions, headed by Stan Morey, who was ably assisted by Suzanne Kozak and James Egan. Morey is also the proprietor of Stan's Gym, which is about the largest health club in the area. The 1983 Mr. and Miss America Championships produced 55 male and 27 female competitors of the highest physical caliber. Quite noticeable among the male contestants was the high number of crossovers from the MPC to the AAU. This was a good sign because it showed that bodybuilding in the USA is a democratic, not autocratic sport, where competitors are free to make their own choices without penalty. Hopefully this kind of crossover in either direction will continue and should be encouraged even more. Prejudging for the Miss America contest began on Saturday, September 3rd, around 10 a.m. Five lovely ladies competed in the short class under 5'3". They included Pamela Santera from Massachusetts, Candace Coney from Illinois, Gloria Romo from California, Pam Schatzberger from Oklahoma, and Diana Hillard from Indiana, Vitiel Frank from Colorado, and Diane Langoni from Massachusetts. Of these women, I especially like the bodies and posing of Schatzberger, Frank, and Langoni. Why? I can't explain. I don't pretend to be a judge of female bodybuilders' physiques. The parts on a woman's body that I find attractive are not necessarily what the judges look for. However, as the final results will show, I wasn't very far off in agreement with the judges. Six women competed in the medium class, 5'3 to under 5'5". They were Rhonda Williams from Colorado, Robin Langitash from, well, they don't have a state, Julie Stengel from Minnesota, Carrie Keenan from Florida, Elay Mraz from Illinois, and Elena Creeley from New York. In this class, I favored Langitash, Stengel, and Keenan. Rhonda Williams and Julie Stange exhibited the greatest muscularity, and Stange was the most ripped in this class. Carrie Keenan's posing presentation was the best in this group. The medium-tall class, 5'5 to under 5'7, had the largest number of competitors, 9. They included Margaret Celedonio from Florida, Kim Drain, Linda Emmel from Massachusetts, Barbara Devio from Florida, Angie Zakowski from Illinois, Debbie Poston from Florida, Judy Bentz, Arlene Garrett from Illinois, and Becky Thomas from Maryland. I selected Poston, Bentz, and Thomas to finish in the top three places. Debbie DeWitt Poston is the wife of Rick Poston. I had the pleasure of meeting Debbie and Rick both at their gym, Athletes Fitness Center, and in their home in Tampa. They are two of the nicest people you will ever meet. Debbie's physique was highly muscular. She possessed exceptional biceps, thighs, calves, and abdominals. Debbie had the kind of muscularity that you either loved or hated on a woman. I expected Debbie to place first in this class if the judges leaned toward muscularity. If the judges favored a smoother, less muscled female form, then Judy Bentz or Becky Thomas would probably place in the top two places. Barbara Devio's abdominals were as deeply etched as Debbie Poston's. Arlene Garrett had the most curvaceous body in the contest. Arlene is the wife of Sergio Oliva, who was at the audience. The tall class over 5'7 was the smallest class in the Miss America contest. In this group were Valerie Colina from Indiana, Cheryl Harris from California, Ann Hope from Illinois, Kathy Cafaro from California, and Cheryl Prizio from Massachusetts. I particularly like Harris and Hope, and I expected either girl to take this class. Valerie Collins was the tallest gal in the class. She also had one of the most distinctive and prettiest faces. Judges for the Miss America Championship were Faye King from Virginia, Wilma Oblinas from California, Dr. Richard Soper Mackey from California, Mike Bogan from Massachusetts, and Emily Gauntlet from Florida. Jack Barlow from California was the head judge. Prejudging for the Miss America contest ended around 2 p.m. There were about 2 hours before the prejudging for the Miss America took place. I took this opportunity to visit the booths of the exhibitors displaying equipment, vitamins, food supplements, and apparel. In the Sun Dome, I had a chance to say hello to Sergio Oliva, who always has an army of fans surrounding him, and to Roy Hilligan, the 1951 Mr. America title holder, who became a licensed physical therapist and now lives in Florida. I was also surprised to see Warren Fredericks, WBBG Professional Mr. America, and PBA Professional Mr. Universe. Reports of Warren's demise have been greatly exaggerated. He is in rock-hard shape, weighing about 200 pounds. Warren will be competing again, perhaps at the 1984 NAVA Mr. Universe, by which the time he will have left the U.S. Army. Prejudging for the Mr. America Championship started about 4:30 p.m. The short class included Dennis Wood from Florida, Al Kirsch from Illinois, Dave Guns Hewlett from Minnesota, Phil Outlaw from South Carolina, Wayne Martin from Indiana, Dennis Stacy from Iowa, William Hatcher from Georgia, Bob Idiavela from California, Don Schubert from Connecticut, Preston Dewfield from Pennsylvania, Larry Bernstein from Illinois, Doug Nasif from North Dakota, Bob Jockowitz from California, and Ivor Butcher from Florida. Dennis Wood had improved since last year's contest. He was more muscular, more ripped, and more shapely, and this time he had a suntan, which he lacked in 1982. In spite of his outstanding physique, I didn't expect Dennis to place in the top five. He didn't have the familiarity that many other men in this class have had through magazine exposure. Physique publicity is definitely an advantage in national competition. I had not seen Al Kirsch in person before. He had a memorable body. He was muscular, muscle dense, symmetrical, and cut. I had him tied for second place. Phil Outlaw had a heavily muscled body. He was huge and vascular and packed considerable muscle head to toe. His lower body was as outstanding as his upper body. His rectus femoris, vastus externus, and internus muscles were the biggest and most defined in the contest. I expected Phil to win this class. Mr. Iowa, Dennis Stacy, possessed a muscular and symmetrical body, but needed greater muscle density and definition to place high. William Hatcher was muscular, symmetrical, and especially well-defined. His definition was most impressive. He looked like a three-dimensional contoured roadmap. I placed Hatcher in a tie for second place with Al Kirsch. Preston Dufield was also muscular with very good definition. He lacked the muscle mass that many other men in the class had. I expected him to place about sixth or seventh. Larry Bernstein looked as good as he did at last year's Mr. America contest, but not as good as when he won his class at the 82 Junior Mr. America. In both Mr. America contests, he appeared to be smoother. I expected Larry to place fifth in a very tough field. To see how wrong I was, see the results at the end of this article. Bob Jockiewicz looked more impressive in person than many of the magazine photos I had seen of him. He was muscular, muscle dense, and symmetrical, but not as ripped as some others in the class. I believed he would place about fourth. 14 men competed in the short class, under 5'7". 15 men lined up in the medium class, 5'7 to 5'9". They included Tim Smith from Illinois, Bob Reese from California, Alex McNeil, Gerald Riley from California, Jesse Goutreau from Louisiana, Rick Wilkins from Texas, J.J. Marsh from California, Richard Warfield from Massachusetts, Tim Young from Iowa, Rick Sampson from Massachusetts, Markham Wheatley from North Carolina, Timmy Lee Young, Abe Cuesta from Florida, James Johnson from Virginia, and Fred Donaldson from California. Among them, I believe Reese, Riley, Goutreau, Marsh, and Cuesta would place in the top five. In my opinion, Jesse Goutreau was the man to beat in this class. As usual, he was muscular, muscle dense, ripped, and very symmetrical. The dictionary definition of symmetrical is beauty as a result of balance or harmonious arrangement. Jesse had it all when he won the 1981 Mr. USA title. He had it all when he competed and won his class at the 82 Mr. America contest. And he had it all when he competed in the 83 Mr. America contest. There was little doubt in my mind that Goutreau would again be a finalist for the Mr. America title. I expected J.J. Marsh to finish in second place. He had great head-to-toe muscularity, definition, and symmetry. He had improved vastly since his appearance at the 82 MPC American Bodybuilding Championships, in which he placed lower than fifth in the heavyweight class. Bob Reese improved immensely since his showing in that same 82 MPC contest, in which he placed fifth in the heavyweight division. Last year, he was very smooth. This year, he was definitely more defined. I believe Reese would place third in this class. Both Marsh and Reese were heavyweights who packed considerable muscle on frames that stood less than 5'9". Abe Cuesta placed second to Goutreau last year at the Mr. America competition. Because of the larger turnout of high-quality physiques this year, I felt Abe would finish lower, in fourth, despite the fact that Cuesta had improved greatly over last year. He was more muscular, more cut, and more muscle dense. His calves, unfortunately, were not in balance with his superb body above the knees. Gerald Riley, the 83 Mr. California, was very impressive. I thought he would place fifth in this class. He's a powerlifter as well as a bodybuilder. He had the body to prove it. His short crop black hair gave him the appearance of being a Marine drill instructor. With greater recognition in the muscle press, he should become better known and place higher. Tim Young and Richard Warfield placed fourth and fifth, respectively, in the 82 of Mr. America. Again, this year's contest was considerably tougher competition-wise. Both men appear to be smoother than they were last year. Keep an eye on Rick Sampson. This 22-year-old man was most impressive. He had that X shape, big chest, wide lats, small waist and hips, massive thighs, and large calves. The medium-tall class, 5'9 to under 5'11, was the largest and the toughest division to judge. The class included Rick Poston from Florida, Peter Mohn from Minnesota, David Kruk from Florida, David Brown from California, David McKinley from Indiana, Billy Arlen from Texas, Jeff King from New Jersey. Gary Hines from Minnesota, Doug Brignoli from California, Craig Harris from Florida, Steve Brown from Iowa, Phil Rohde from Illinois, Robert Richardson from Florida, Steve Bonestaff from California, Ken Cleanan from Missouri, Tim Smalley from Indiana, and Jim Bucci from Florida. Of these men, I thought Poston, Arlen, King, Brignoli, and Rohde would be in the top five places. Jeff King was awesome. He was huge when he won the 82 AAU Collegiate Mr. America title. Now he was even more huge, but with greater definition. His upper body was as massive as his lower body. His thighs and calves have been compared to those of Tom Platz. Many in the audience believe King's thighs were even bigger, and King's top-to-bottom symmetry was even better than Platz's. This young man from Point Pleasant, New Jersey, graduated with a major in physical education from Springfield College in Massachusetts. He has a winning personality that matches the size of his physique. He would make an excellent Mr. America if he should win this class and the pose down. Phil Rohde also had a heavily muscled physique with great definition and symmetry. Rohde was not as massive as King. I expected Rohde to finish in second place if King placed first. I wasn't sure where Rick Poston would place. It was either first or third. It depended on whether the judges preferred an Adonis or a Hercules. Rick had never looked better. His upper body was phenomenal, especially his abdominals. They were thick and deeply etched. His arms were never larger, and his overall symmetry was nearly perfect. Doug Brignoli and Billy Arlen were tied for fourth and fifth places. It was a toss-up to me. Craig Harris, 83 Mr. Florida, also appeared to be close to the top five places. I was surprised to see Rick Harris, Craig's brother, in the warm-up room putting oil on Craig. Rick had won the Physique 83 championships recently. One rarely sees two brothers who are bodybuilders and title holders. The Harrises are from New Jersey. Craig is a student at USF, California title winner. Steve Bonestaff also impressed me. He had a big chest, wide lats, trim waist, and long muscular legs, creating the illusion that he was taller than 5'11". The tall class over 5'11 produced the smallest number of competitors, 8. One contestant failed to show up in the finals. They included Tom Kotecki from Wisconsin, Sam Pasco from New York, Marty Varanikar from Pennsylvania, Craig Cole from Massachusetts, Steve Kavanaugh from Florida, Theodore Robinson, Lou Peretta from California, and Jeff Munson from Illinois. The easy winner of this class was Marty Varanikar. He looked better than he did last year when he was edged out by the 82 Mr. America winner, Rufus Howard, in the tall class. Marty's calves were never his strongest body part. His calves now appear to be bigger and in balance with the rest of his muscular and ripped body. I expected Jeff Munson to play second. He had a classic physique, muscular, well-defined, and symmetrical. With greater media exposure and recognition, he could be a class winner one day. I had Steve Kavanaugh in third place. He was the tallest man in the contest. I've come to the conclusion that a tall man always has a tougher time to put everything in place in order to compete effectively against shorter fellows. Kavanaugh has the muscularity, symmetry, and definition to join the ranks of Schwarzenegger and Ferrigno one day. Craig Cole appeared smoother than he was last year. Competition in the 83 Mr. America was sharper. Cole would have to be more muscle dense and ripped to place higher. Sam Pasco had made long gains in definition and muscle density. With more muscle mass and more work on his symmetry, Sam would be hard to beat. A panel of 9 men and women judged the Mr. America contest. The results were determined after the 2 highest and 2 lowest scores for each competitor were eliminated. The judges were Steve Trusty from Florida, Jerry Benucci from Virginia, Dr. Richard Soper from Tennessee, Jack Oblinas from California, Cliff Sawyer from Massachusetts, Frank Peffer from Pennsylvania, Tom Miniacello from New York, Karen Lang from Illinois, and Dr. Michael Walczak from California. The prejudging over, most everyone went out on the town to pig out or went back to Stone's Travel Lodge, the headquarters motel, or the Holiday Inn next door, which handled the overflow of guests. The finals will be held the next day, Sunday, September 4th. At 1 p.m., the women appeared for their final presentations. Places were awarded after each class. The results were as follows. Short class went to Diane Langoni, Bessie Frank second, Pan Schatzberger in third, Pamela Santoro fourth, Candace Cooney in fifth. In the medium class, Carrie Keenan won first. Julie Stengel was second. Rhonda Williams was third. Elsie Mraz from Illinois was fourth. Robin Longatash was fifth. In the medium tall class, Becky Thomas was first. Judy Benz was second. Barbara Devio was third. Debbie Poston was fourth. And Arlene Garrett, Sergio's wife, was fifth. In the tall class, Cheryl Harris was first. Ann Hope second. Cheryl Prizio was third. Kathy Caffaro was fourth. And Valerie Collins was fifth. Close down among the four finalists ended with Carrie Keenan winning the 83 AAU Miss America title. The Mr. America finals began at 6 p.m. The top five places in each class included short class winner was Larry Bernstein. William Hatcher was second. Al Kirsch was third. Bob Jockowitz was fourth. And Phil Outlaw was fifth. In the medium class, Jesse Boutreau was first. Bob Reese was second. J.J. Marsh was third. Abe Cuesta was fourth. And Gerald Riley was fifth. In the medium tall class, Jeff King was first. Phil Rohde was second. Rick Poston third, Billy Arlen fourth, and Doug Brignoli was fifth. In the tall class, Marty Varanikar was first, Steve Cavanaugh was second, Jeff Munson was third, Sam Pascoe fourth, and Craig Cole was fifth. The four finalists put on a dazzling display of muscle maneuvers. The audience went emotionally wild. Each person had his or her favorite. When the crescendo of cheers diminished, the announcer connected the name of Jeff King with the 1983 AAU Mr. America title. Jeff King will make a fine Mr. America. He has the physique, personality, intelligence, and charm to be an exemplary bearer of this title, the best known and most recognized bodybuilding title in the USA and the world. Congratulations, Jeff King. You are the new king of muscledom. Long live the king. All right. A lot of very familiar names in this article. This is, of course, 1983. I had Larry Bernstein on our show about a year ago with Glenn Kinnear. So he is from Illinois, and Larry, of course, won the short class. Larry was very thickly muscled, huge legs, a short guy, but very thickly muscled. Jesse Boutreau, of course, was a top AAU competitor, and he won his class 2 years in a row at this AAU Mr. America, 82 and 83. Bob Reese was a huge guy and competed both in the MPC and the AAU. J.J. Marsh, this was a young J.J. Marsh taking third. And JJ went on, of course, to be a professional bodybuilder with the IFBB. He won the 86 NPC USA Championships, and then he won the 1991 Ironman Pro Championships, the Ironman Invitational. Phil Rohde was the guy I recognized because he competed in Illinois. He was very thick and big for back then, back in the early 80s. Huge delts, huge arms, real big guy. He won like the Central USA and I think the Mr. Midwest contest in Illinois. He dominated and did very well on the national level, taking second in America. And then Rick Poston, I never got a chance to meet Rick, but he's from the Tampa Bay area. And him and his wife, Debbie, I believe Debbie has passed away, but they owned a gym. And he had, like I said, the article said, very symmetrical physique, good abs. Marty Varanikar, great AAU bodybuilder. It was interesting with the women. Rick's wife, Debbie, was very, very muscular, very much in vogue with today's bodybuilders. But back then in 1983, that was considered an outlier. She was really too big. And it's interesting to note she only placed fourth in her class at this contest. And Sergio's wife, Arlene Garrett, this was the wife actually who shot Sergio in 1986. She was in fifth place. So this was 83. So this was 1 year before Sergio made his comeback in the Mr. Olympia contest in 84. Very interesting stuff. A lot of great competitors from back then. It's interesting that when he talks about people that we never heard about who really had the potential to go all the way and they never did. The competition back then was really crazy. The Mr. America contest was really an unbelievable contest. And you think about this is before growth hormone and insulin. So these guys were very, very impressive. William Hatcher was another guy who was second in the short class, gigantic legs. I'm looking at his picture right now. Huge. But Jeff King, what an amazing winner. I don't know if I mentioned this in the interview we did with Jeff, but in 1984, I was training at a hardcore bodybuilding gym. There was about five or four bodybuilders from my gym that were competing in the Mr. America. And all those guys would look at pictures of Jeff King as this is the guy you have to beat. This is the guy who is the epitome of what the Mr. America contest is all about. So it's amazing now, all these years later, 40 years later, people still remember Jeff King. And they still admire his physique. So that's really some great staying power. That shows what an incredible physique he had. I talked to Chris Aceto before I did the interview with Jeff King. And Chris said that most muscular pose by Jeff King with that huge neck and those gigantic legs, that has inspired hundreds of thousands of bodybuilders throughout the years to achieve their best just because of how Jeff looked. So I hope Jeff knows how influential he really was. All right, so that's it for the show. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you again to Matt Dufresne and Jeff King for a great interview. And next week we will have part two of our interview with Matt and Jeff. Until then, keep training hard, stay safe, and we'll see you guys next time. Take care.